The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Wishing to determine the truth about why Paul was being accused by the Jews, the commander freed him and ordered the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin to convene. Then he brought Paul down and made him stand before them. Paul was aware that some were Sadducees and some Pharisees, so he called out before the Sanhedrin, "My brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees. I am on trial for hope in the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the group became divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, or angels, or spirits, while the Pharisees acknowledge all three. A great uproar occurred, and some scribes belonging to the Pharisee party stood up and sharply argued, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel has spoken to him." The dispute was so serious that the commander, afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces by them, ordered his troops to go down and rescue Paul from their midst and take him into the compound. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for just as you have borne witness to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." And the Gospel reading is from St. John, chapter 17. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, "I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." Divide and conquer is Paul's strategy facing the chief priests and the Sanhedrin. He knew better than most the makeup of that body. On one side, the Sadducees of the priestly families with their liberal, reductive style of theology, and on the other, the Pharisees, more zealous and religious, believing not only in angels and spirits, but also in the resurrection of the dead. Whether the Pharisees understood this as yet another kind of spiritual reality is not clear. Perhaps they did, while Paul had come to believe in the resurrection in quite a different sense. But that did not matter for the moment. Strategically, the most important thing is that Paul set them at each other's throats. From the perspective of the divine strategy of Acts, the most important thing is that Paul, having borne witness to the Lord in Jerusalem, is told by the Lord in a vision that he must now also bear witness in Rome. It is fitting that Paul of Tarsus, citizen of the Roman Empire, one of the most significant figures of the ancient world, should end his career in the capital city of that world. In him will be fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus at the beginning of the Acts, that the apostles would bear witness to Jesus in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Paul thought of going to Spain, the end of the world in another sense, but the Spirit of Jesus led him instead to Rome. Today's Gospel passage brings Jesus' high priestly prayer to an end. It is, fittingly, a doxology, celebrating the glory which the Son has with the Father before the foundation of the world. A mysterious unity in mutual knowing and loving, what we usually call simply the Holy Spirit, is shared with human beings through the life and teaching, death and glorification of Jesus. It is an intimacy in knowing and loving, a union of life and love, for which our most fulfilling experiences of love are invaluable, while remaining still poor analogies. It is clear in what the glory consists and in what it does not consist. It is not a shining light and rolling thunder. It is not a blazing storm or a shattering earthquake. It is more like a still small voice or a lamb led to the slaughter. Unity, loving, mutual knowing. What are such things in a noisy world of conflict, struggle and argument? Paul has no hope of getting round to teaching his accusers something about this rich mystery, which is the Father in Jesus, Jesus in us, and so the Father in us. On the one hand, there is the gospel, and the rich promise of eternal life which it carries, a shared life, even now, in the Blessed Trinity. But on the other hand, there are always also the hearers and receivers of the message. Something has to happen in them too, if they are to believe what they hear. Something like a conversion, a new heart, something like a veritable resurrection of the spiritually dead.